me move this, make sure you can hear me. Thank you all for being here today. I'm going to be talking about how to evaluate community prevention coalitions, and specifically talking about the design of a national evaluation project that I've been involved in, and I'm happy to bring this to you today. I have no disclosures. Let me tell you a little bit about the Drug-Free Communities Support Program and the partners that have been involved in this project. In 1997, the Drug-Free Communities Act was put in place, and it required the Office of the National Drug Control Policy to conduct the Drug-Free Communities Support Program and essentially to provide grants to community anti-drug coalitions. SAMHSA has been a big partner involved in this project, and the SAMHSA project monitor, project officers are overseeing the grantees, and they manage the Coalition Institute that provides technical assistance to all of the grantees. I'm with Battelle Centers for Public Health Research and Evaluation, and we are a large national support contractor providing evaluation support services in conjunction with our partner Kit Solutions that's responsible for collecting data for this national evaluation. A little bit of background on the program. The DFC funds only community anti-drug coalitions. The program gives out about $100,000 per year up to 10 years to these community coalitions, and the grant recipients are responsible for matching these federal monies with equal amounts of their own money that they find, or matching that with in-kind contributions. As part of the program, the DFC grantees must comply with several reporting requirements, which are quite common for national evaluations, including the collection of core outcome data that includes the age of onset, past 30-day use data, perceptions of risk harm of use, and perceptions of peer and adult disapproval of use. Let me just mention that these programs are targeting really adolescents in 6th grade through 12th grade. The goal of the program is essentially to be able to reduce substance abuse by addressing the local risk and protective factors within the communities. These coalitions are expected to deliver multiple intervention strategies that support positive norms. They're expected to be coordinating anti-drug activities by establishing, strengthening, and fostering collaboration among public and non-profit agencies, as well as working at multiple governmental levels, including federal, state, city, and with local and tribal governments. And the expectation is they'll be promoting environmental interventions. I think that the program overall eventually wants to be able to seed these community-level programs in the hopes that eventually they'll become self-sufficient within their communities. Since I've been involved in the program since about 2001, there are over 900 coalitions that have received this funding throughout the United States. They are present, at least one coalition in every single state in the United States, so it gives you a sense of the magnitude of this program. A little more than a quarter of all youth in the United States are being served within communities that are targeted through this grant program. As a national evaluation, we have sort of three primary objectives. The first is to be able, essentially the outcome, is this program working, and assess whether the DFC grantees are essentially making an impact on reducing substance abuse outcomes at the community, state, and at the national level. The second objective is to assess whether the DFC coalitions have increased in their capacity and effectiveness over time as this 10-year program has gone on. Are we seeing any benefits from that? And finally, the third factor is really a best practices. Can we identify any specific factors that are contributing to the coalition's ability to prevent substance abuse within their community? What are those, both the specific factors and contextual factors that make these programs successful? Just to give you sort of a high level of this large evaluation design, obviously we're looking at an outcome assessment. In an ideal world, we'd like to have comparable substance abuse outcome data for youth in communities both with and without to make this comparison to look at the effectiveness. However, there are no single database out there that provides consistent substance abuse data for communities. It's represented by zip code. It's just not available, and it's very cost prohibited to be able to go out and collect this to have these control comparison communities. So as working with a strategy group as part of this large evaluation, the DFC program assessment is based on looking at some state-level estimates from the YRBS, the Youth Risk Behavioral Surveillance System, and essentially making those comparisons. The YRBS was selected. The grantees have the option to collect their own outcome information. Most of them are using the YRBS to be able to collect it for targeted, for at least YRBS looks at 9 through 12. So that was the one that we've selected at least thus far. As I mentioned, an important component of this program is really looking at the functioning and effectiveness of community-based coalitions. And the coalition development assessment to date has relied on doing a self-reported assessment survey to look at their essentially their stage of development. We've created a typology that has categorized each of the coalitions so that as they go on and over time, we can essentially be able to track their maturation. There are two specific questions that we have in mind that we're interested in taking a look at. First, to look at whether over time these grantees are really progressing and advancing. Are they working better within their community and working towards sustainability? And second, are more advanced stages of development essentially associated with better outcomes? Can we see that the ones that are more sustainable have better, essentially better impact in the community? In addition to this, there's plenty of data here. We have a COMET data system, which essentially is a grantee electronic grantee monitoring system designed to collect information on all of these grantees over time, rich data on capacities, strategies, activities, as well as outcome data. And essentially, these data are helping us in identifying those factors, which we're still working on, and looking at what it is that contributes to more effective functioning. I wanted to spend a little bit more time with each of these objectives and talking about specifically what we've done so far and what we're finding about these communities and the coalitions that are working within the communities. Our first objective is to assess whether they're essentially making any kind of impact at a community, state, or national level. As I mentioned, we've been comparing the DFC communities to the non-DFC communities, and there are multiple outcomes that we can take a look at, beginning with the YRBS looking at past 30-day use for marijuana, alcohol, and tobacco, especially among the 9th through 12th graders. And essentially what we've been doing is for each state, we are subtracting out estimates based on that, based on national data that have been reported to produce an estimate, and that relies on constructing a population-weighted average to be able to compare that. So that's essentially one method for being able to compare these communities and comparing them across time. So what are we finding so far? What we're seeing right now, I think, is quite promising. What this chart shows is that the DFC communities are essentially showing significantly lower substance use rates when compared to the non-DFC communities. This is comparing the purple bar shows the DFC communities and the yellow the non-DFC communities, comparing those rates for 9th through 12th. I think what you're seeing at least in 2005 and 2007 as much lower rates, as well as over time what you're seeing in the DFC communities is those rates are declining. Our second objective is essentially to assess whether these coalitions have increased their capacity and effectiveness, and this relies on being able to categorize these coalitions along some sort of typology or dimension that captures their infrastructure and sustainability within the community. As I mentioned, we have a tool that's fielded annually, a coalition classification tool that captures information that allows us to create this typology. Essentially has four functional areas that measure the coalition's development and management. It looks at their prevention programs, captures information on environmental strategies, and intermediary and community support organizations. There's a whole host of questions that come from SAMHSA's prevention framework within each of these various categories that helps us develop this typology. Importantly, focuses on the things that these communities are working on towards progression, towards sustainability, including ability to conduct assessments and mobilize and build capacity, developing community plans, implementing strategies, and their ability to essentially evaluate how they're doing and move forward. This is our coalition typology that draws much from the literature. I think what you'll see here is that we've essentially, for purposes of this project, categorized the coalitions along into four different groups, from establishing to functioning to maturing and finally to sustaining. And what you see along the left hand, it shows a description and essentially the level of competency to perform these functions. So through the coalition classification tool, we're able to group them on a whole host of questions into these categories and allow us to be able to look at the effect of the more of the sustainable organizations on the outcomes, as well as look at whether they're actually moving from establishing to functioning, maturing, and sustaining. I think while we might expect that is the direction, we know that often community organizations, depending on leadership and the communities that they work in, may cycle back and may move throughout these different stages. So we're very, very interested in seeing the extent to which they move, how long it takes them to move between these, and whether they essentially cycle back in terms of their functioning, depending on a whole host of things such as leadership. So what are we seeing so far? With the data that we have so far, we are seeing that these coalitions are making progress, and I guess to my surprise, in a relatively short period of time. These three waves that are shown here essentially are the last 3 years of data collection for the coalition classification tool. So what that does is we take that, we create this index or scale based on the items from the prevention framework, categorize them, and then we've been looking at them over time. As you can see, over time, when we restrict this to the ones that have been around for all this time so that we're capturing the correct ones, we can see that there's a decline in the number that are establishing and in functioning, and an increase in the number that are moving towards maturity and in sustaining. And I think essentially what you're seeing is that most of the ones that they're funding right now are sort of in the two middle categories. They've achieved some mastery, but they're not quite at the sustainability level. Here is a quick glimpse at how this typology matches up for the three drugs for the 10th graders at least. And what you can see here, what I wanted to illustrate, is that we do have some evidence that those, at least in 2007, the more mature are showing lower rates of substance use for all three drugs. It's less clear in 2006 with the exception of alcohol, but we're clearly seeing that those that are more in a more sustainable category having more impact. Our third objective, as I mentioned, was to look at some of the specific factors that are contributing to their ability to prevent substance abuse. This is something that we have a rich data source that we're just starting to look at now. We've not had a chance to fully, I think, mine these data and take a look at these strategies. But the focus of our analysis is going to be looking at what features or characteristics are going to be associated with greater or lesser levels of coalition effectiveness. And we have a lot of community level outcome data from census data too, so we can look at how they function within their communities. Some of the factors we're going to look at that we have data on that I'm quite excited about, we have information about their decision-making structure, leadership characteristics. We know that their ability to use research, to use data, and to use that effectively for strategy development can lead to more effective strategies and essentially better outcomes. We're also interested in looking at the extent to which they transform conflict so that that transformation may lead to greater success as sort of a developmental stage in coalitions. And finally, we'll be looking at the use of evidence-based strategies and essentially what kinds of strategies. They have to list all their strategies over time, and we have the outcomes. So we'll be matching that up to take a look at within what context are these strategies working. I think an interesting question, does one size fits all, or are these really very much community-based and specific to that? So we'll have more on that. And finally, I just want to acknowledge the other folks that have been working with me on this project from the Office of the National Drug Control Policy, as well as my colleagues at Battelle and our partners at ASDC. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Our next presenter is going to be Greta Tessman, and she is going to actually do the next two presentations because she has graciously offered to fill in for her colleague who was unable to be here with us. So she's going to do the next two presentations for us.